We're learning how to deal with foolish people next on The Balanced Word.
Realize the danger of, getting into it with someone who's being foolish and that turning you into foolish as well. So sometimes being silent is the best approach.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
There are foolish people all around us, from social media to the workplace, in the church, and they can even be in our own family. And maybe you've noticed it's not so easy to deal with them and their behavior. It can be tricky. Fortunately, the Proverbs have a lot to say about this, and we'll turn there for valuable instruction for dealing with the fool. Welcome to The Balanced Word. Pastor Dave Rolfe is in a series called Smarter Living, and we'll start things off today in Proverbs chapter 18.
Well, this year, we are going through the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs is primarily an outline. We call the study Smarter Living through the Proverbs, but the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom and a book of foolishness. It basically lays out, here are the smart things to do, here are the stupid things to do. And every week we look at a different topic and see, oh, okay, so living a disciplined life, that's very smart. Living an undisciplined life, that's very foolish. Spending yourself into debt, that's really stupid. Saving your money, that's really smart. Treating people well, that's the way to live smartly. To be cruel to people, that's the way to mess your life up and be an idiot. And so it draws these divisions. And one thing that you realize is, the first thought is, oh man, sometimes Proverbs makes me feel stupid. But then very quickly you make the adjustment where you realize there are people around me that are way stupider than I am. And so we start to gravitate toward looking at our lives and go, I can't believe it. I am surrounded by fools. And there's a lot of truth to that. But then the trick is, if we want to be smart, how do you do that with a bunch of fools getting in your way? How do we deal with the fools in our life? And Solomon has a lot to say about that. Now, one of the most basic things going in Proverbs, as you look at the difference between, and by the way, I should say this, smart is not someone who is intellectually smart. And foolish or stupid isn't someone who doesn't have sharp academic skills. There are some people who are incredibly brilliant, but really stupid in the way they live their lives. There are some people like Forrest Gump who, not real sharp, but man, knows how to live life, knows how to do this right. And that's the great thing, is when you read Proverbs, you're not seeing the possibility of a life that you just can't live. It's a life that he breaks down for us, and it's easy to live life smarter if we just do things his way. But foolish people, one of the things that you see in Proverbs, and you can turn to Proverbs chapter 18. That's where we'll start, but we'll be looking at several different passages on this. But the thing that Solomon presents about foolish people is that they really don't want to listen, they really don't want to learn, but they really just want to talk. They love telling you what they think and why they think it. But foolish people don't really want to sit back and say, let me watch, let me observe, let me learn. Is there something in my life that I could fix and make better? Foolish people just don't do that. Now here in Proverbs 18 in verse 2, he says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. The fool loves to give his opinion and he thinks it's right, but he's really not into actually learning anything. So obviously, you're trying to talk to someone like that. It gets really frustrating because it's like, I could tell you how you could have a better life, but you really don't want to hear me, do you? Now turn back to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. He says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." And skip down to verse 23. "A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the hearts of fools proclaims foolishness." A fool just never shuts up about his foolishness. And at the same time, the reason he is the way he is and continues to do what he does, he's absolutely convinced that he's correct. He would just go, "I'm right." You find someone who's defending themselves, even when what they're doing didn't work, and they still don't seem to have learned anything from even their failure. They find a way of blaming other people because the essence of foolish living is just believing that you're right all the time. Now, this affects all of us because most of us, our natural inclination is to believe that we are correct. It takes some humility to ever come to the point where we go, okay, there are things I could still learn. There are areas in which I might be wrong. The fool just never gets to that point at all. They really don't. They don't even want to be a part of that. Now turn over to chapter 17 and verse 16. And this is kind of the essence of the problem. Proverbs 17, 16. "Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it?" A foolish person really doesn't have the heart to change. A foolish person doesn't, deep down inside, they don't even want to know when they're doing something wrong. If someone begins to point out something to them where they might be wrong, they're like, I don't want to know. I don't want to hear it. Because the truth is, and this is so frustrating when you're dealing with people, most people don't want to change. Most people would like to keep doing exactly what they're doing, and they would like everyone else to change to make it easier for them. And obviously, that's foolish. That isn't the way to live, but that's what a fool does. I'm right. I really don't care to change. I'm going to keep doing just what I'm doing. To stop learning, to stop growing, to stop changing is basically to just tap out and say, I'm just going to live a stupid life for the rest of my life, because that's what will happen when that's what you do. Now, in chapter 18, in verse 6, he says, "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." See, this is the problem. Not only do fools just like to do what they do, not only are fools not open to change, not listening, not willing to learn, they just do all their talking, they just blah, 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 they can try to talk themselves out of everything. That would be okay if it weren't for the fact that foolish people want to pick fights. Foolish people actually somehow are energized when someone will disagree with them so they can battle for their position. People who are secure in what they are and in what they believe, they don't really need to prove themselves to anyone. They aren't threatened by the fact that other people are wrong. But somebody who's insecure, they look at their life and just go, I've got to stick up for everything. I have to, I've got to battle. And that's what makes it hard to live around people who are foolish. Because people who are foolish aren't just satisfied to have their own thing and to talk their own game. They want you to agree with them, and if you won't, they want to fight about it. It's, Proverbs says an awful lot about being around contentious people and how you really don't want to do that, because who wants to spend your life fighting? Especially with somebody who thinks they're right, nothing you say is going to affect them at all. They're just going to continue to go that way. Well, that's the problem with fools in our lives. That's the problem with people who are this way. Not just that they won't change, but that they won't leave you alone either. They will hang on to your you know, what your opinion is of them, and they would love to fight about just about anything that you can think of. Now turn back to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 7, and we begin to see what the tactics are to deal. Maybe you're going, boy, do I have a lot of fools in my life. So I get it. Okay, don't fight with them. What do you do? What do you do when there are fools around? Well, he says in verse 7, chapter 14, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. See, Solomon, the wisest guy ever, says sometimes you just got to get away from someone when they are flashing their foolishness. Sometimes you're better off not dealing with them, not interacting with them, not trying to, you know, repair them, not trying to defend yourself, not thinking that you're going to reason them out of what it is that they think. He goes, no, sometimes just get away. Just get away from those kinds of people. Now, that's hard, because sometimes you have people in your life you can't get away from, and they can be very foolish. But his basic thing here, and you can see also over in chapter 23 and verse 9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Again, don't hang around people like that. Don't say things that are going to give them a reason to latch on to you, to try to fight. The best way to fight with a fool is to avoid the fight, to do whatever you can do to just say, yeah, that's, I'm not going there. I'm not going to say things that I know are going to get you to go off, and I'm not going to just sit there and respond to you and mix it up. It doesn't mean you can't have any sort of relationship with foolish people, but what it does mean is those relationships are going to be somewhat limited based on how you are able to actually interact with them. You certainly need to understand, if I'm around you a lot, I'm going to have to deal with your stupidity. If I'm saying certain things to you, I know it's going to bait you. So I'm going to learn just to go, okay, I'm going to back off. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to tempt you to come off with, you know, your thing, to have your excuse to tell me one more time why you think you are so smart, why you know everything the way it should be done. It's controlling people are always foolish. Only a fool would ever want to control anyone else anyway. But they use the tactic of acting like, I know better than you do, so you should do what I want you to do. If you're the type of person who's always trying to control other people in your life, you might as well just get a sign and hang it around your head that says, I am an idiot. Because that's what foolishness does. That's what it is. Now turn over to chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. And these are verses that people are kind of familiar with because it sounds like they're contradictory. Because in verse 4, he says, don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Now, there are people who say, oh, there are contradictions in the Bible. It says, don't answer a fool according to his folly, and it says, answer a fool according to his folly. Which one is it? Well, it's not a contradiction, at least not an unintentional one, because the verses are listed right after each other. What Solomon's dealing with is that sometimes dealing with foolish people is tricky. Sometimes it's not just as simple as saying, don't have anything to do with foolish people. Now, the first part's pretty easy to understand. Don't answer a fool according to their folly, lest you become like them. See, you can't fix somebody else's foolishness, but you can catch it. You know, if you get drawn into a conversation with a foolish person, with someone who really isn't open and willing to listen, you'll find yourself saying things that you would have never said. It's like, yeah, stupid is contagious in some ways. And how many times have you experienced this? Every once in a while, especially on social media, this will happen. It happened to me, I think it was yesterday. Somebody said something on Facebook, like just this general thing, that I looked at it and I go, that is the stupidest thing I have ever heard in my life. And then I'm thinking, God, you know, people are going to be hurt by this. People are going to be... And so, but I'm like, wait, don't answer a fool according to his folly. Just let it go. But instead, I just wrote, wow, that's weird. So then, boom, this long thing at me. So then I do a long thing, and then he... And then I'm like, what am I doing? I'm acting like this guy when I should have just let it go. He's got like six people that read his posts anyway, and they all realize who he is. But it's so easy to get yanked into that. It's so easy to be pulled into it. So realize the danger of, you know, getting into it with someone who's being foolish and that turning you into foolish as well. So, what does verse 5 mean? Answer a fool in accordance to their foolishness, because, you know, lest they be wise in their own eyes. Sometimes being silent is the best approach. Jesus is a great example of this. When he was taken before the authorities to be tried, they had, you know, two witnesses that they paid to come and say things about him that weren't true. Jesus didn't respond. It was his chance to respond, and it says he didn't even say a word, like Isaiah had prophesied in Isaiah 53. Like a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So that certainly, hey, I'm not going to get into a he said, she said with you. But there were other times when Jesus was being baited, and he felt like it was important for him to say something. You know, perhaps just for the benefit of people who were listening, perhaps for the benefit of the foolish people who were talking to him. For instance, one time the Jewish leaders came to Jesus and they said, so who gave you the authority to do what you do? Does your authority come from heaven or does your authority come from the earth? See, it was a trick question. He was there at the temple, and they were wanting him to either say, I come from heaven, which would then allow them to attack him for claiming to be God, or if he said, hey, I'm just a guy, then they could attack him for, you know, not having heavenly authority. See, the Jewish leaders would say, we have heavenly authority and earthly authority. Which do you have? You really don't have either. So they asked him that question and said, come on, answer. And he said, well, tell you what, you answer a question for me. John the Baptist, remember him? Yeah. He says, was he from God, doing the work of God, or was he just a man? And they were trapped. And the reason, it wouldn't seem like that complicated of a statement, except for them. See, if they said that John the Baptist is a godly man, then everyone there remembers, wait, John the Baptist is the one who said that I'm not even worthy to tie Jesus' shoelaces. This is the Messiah. This is the one that I've been telling you about to come into the world to save the world. So they can't say John the Baptist is from God. But they can't say that he's from man either, because as it says there in Matthew 21, the people really loved John the Baptist. After he died, he was more popular even than when he was alive. It's like, wow, what a great prophet. So either they get the people mad at them for putting down John, or they look stupid for putting up John and therefore, by extension, putting Jesus in a better light. So it said they just looked and went, and they walked away. Now, that's a great way to handle somebody who's asking a stupid question. Not by answering with a stupid answer, but by answering with an answer that really makes you think and that doesn't play into their desire to fight. See, Jesus could have answered to them, my authority is from God. Well, then what are you saying? He could have said, look, watch this. Let me melt one of you. Poof. It's like, oh, yeah. But they wanted that kind of a battle. They would have then said, oh, he's using the power of demons or whatever. So he just answers a question with a question. Sometimes that's a great way to handle it. Sometimes, you know, there were other times when people would come to Jesus. One time they came to him and said, so, Master, we know that you're a, you know, patriotic guy and a great teacher from God. And so what do you think? Should people who follow you pay taxes? That's kind of tricky. A lot of the people that followed Jesus were people who were really rebelling against the Roman Empire, would like God's people to be free from Rome. And so for him to be up there, you know, saying, you should pay your taxes, you know, be a patriotic Roman citizen, they knew that that would have hurt his standing with the people. But at the same time, the Roman government was there listening, and if he is a tax protester, if he says, don't pay your taxes, then he's in trouble. So they baited him with this question, and his response was, do you got a coin? And so they pulled out a coin, and he said, whose face is on it? They said, Caesar's. He said, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, and give to God what's God's. And they were like, shoot. But Jesus, it's one thing that I think in the modern apologetics that we could learn a lot from Jesus in this. Instead of figuring out how to argue with people, it'd be really good if we just knew how to ask a question that would make people go, that's a good question. I'll have to think about that for a while. Jesus did that constantly. And it's such an appropriate response to a foolish question. It's such an appropriate response to a fool who's trying to bait you and drag you into a discussion.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 945, and 1130. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. With these concluding thoughts, here again is Pastor Dave.
Sometimes I think, you know, people are, you know, come and tell me that, oh, you know, how bad their kids are, how bad their spouse is, or, you know, my life is just miserable and I have all this stuff going on and everything. And I go, okay, I hear you. So is what you're saying now really helping? You know, is that, how's that working for you? Is your relationship improving? Do you really want to have a relationship with your kids, or do you want to be right and have them be wrong? Just something simple like that makes people go, wow, I have to think about it. And sometimes it's a way that they can begin to go through their own processes to say, do I sound like that? Yeah, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that guy. Jesus so often said things that didn't make a lot of sense to the people who were there. Not because, you know, he didn't know how to express it in a better way, but because Jesus was somebody who wanted people to think for themselves. And so, for instance, one time he said to all, he had a pretty good sized following at the time, and he said, hey, what you need to do to be with me, you need to eat my body and drink my blood. He didn't explain, he didn't go, and what I'm talking about is the communion. Once I die, my body is broken, my blood is shed. I'm going to introduce this thing that we're going to do today in participating in the Lord's Supper. He didn't do any of that. He just said it. And most of the people left, and a handful of disciples stuck around just because they said, we don't have any place else to go. Jesus didn't feel necessary to convince anyone of anything because he realized you can't change somebody else for them. They're going to have to decide to change themselves.
Put a bookmark here in the Proverbs and join us next time as we continue our series, Smarter Living with Pastor Dave Rall. The Balanced Word is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up.